welcome to episode number 65 of the Web 2.0 show. In today's episode, we're going to talk about Venmo.com. Venmo is a SMS-based payment platform, and it's got a very unique, fun story attached to it. Venmo actually allows anyone to send and receive money with just a cell phone, a simple text message. It's really a simple way to pay for things. It's an easy way to transfer money between you and your friends. You could even be paying a hot dog vendor on the street corner in New York City. I mean, the possibilities are really endless. It's just a really simple way to pay for goods, services, friends, family, whatever, your trusted network, with a simple text message. I had a chance to sit down with the two co-founders of the business, Ikram and Cortina, and they've actually had quite an illustrious past behind them on application development, but I think what kind of led them down the road to where they're at now is just this intense desire to build something usable, fun, and fresh that people really enjoy. And along the way, I think what they've found, and you'll hear it here in the podcast and in the audio of the podcast, but you'll hear that their hearts weren't really in tune with what they were developing for I'm In Like With You. Not to say that they had, you know, bad projects by any means. They were from what they had said, they had a lot of fun and were great projects. It's just that they weren't really tapping into the essence of what they truly wanted to do as a developer and as a company. So I think that it's kind of cool to take a step back as an entrepreneur as well as a developer and look at what you're doing and say, is my heart in this? Is this what I want to do? Am I extremely passionate about solving this problem? And I think that Cortina and Ikram have answered that question for themselves, and that's why they're doing Venmo. They're grassroots. They're, you know, they're the essence of what bootstrapping is all about. Friends and family have helped them out, as they'll mention in the podcast, but they do not intend to take on any VC money unless they absolutely have to, from what I understand. And they're just truly focused on the user experience and the design and application of Venmo right now. On that note, too, Ikram got a hold of me, and we quickly chatted about some recent exposure they've gotten. There was actually an article that talked about their trusted users feature, and it actually got them a lot more exposure than they were looking for. And he just wanted to give me a heads up that they are quite... quite beta at the moment. They're looking for slower controlled growth for now, and they're keeping things in private beta because they're just not quite ready for an official launch, so they're just trying to grow a little slower so they can provide the best possible service to their user base. What's happened actually is that they've actually gotten people to sign up, and they're asking questions like, how do I turn off the SMS feature for this or for that, and they just don't really have answers at this time right now. You'll hear in the podcast, they're a two-man team. They're ultra bootstrapping. They're definitely coming from a very lightweight team kind of standpoint. So they don't have full-on resources of bandwidth to provide to everyone and everyone when they come in. The service is stable. It's just they want to do the best job possible getting the proper feedback to their user base. But anyways, if you want to head to Venmo.com right now and sign up, they did give me an invite code that has 150 invites to go with it. That does have a time trial period to it as well. So that means that in 2 weeks from now, this code will not work. It's possible to turn it back on, but we'll see. But in the meantime, go to Venmo.com. That's Venmo.com. And plug in WEB20SHOW, that's Web20SHOW, into the invite code box and go ahead and move on to the sign-up form, and that'll get you in. If you do have feedback for the show, please send me an email at feedback@web20show.com. I also encourage you to go to twitter.com and friend me up on there. My personal account is twitter.com/AdamSTAC. That's Adam Stack. You can also go to twitter.com/WEB20SHOW. That's Web20SHOW. Definitely friend me up. I look forward to hearing from you. Anyways, I enjoyed having Cortina and Ikram on the show today. Venmo is a very, very cool story, and I hope you guys enjoy it. Thank you for listening. Be safe. Enjoy the show. All right, I'm here with Andrew Cortina and Ikram Magdan Ismail, the founders of Venmo. Gentlemen, let's get started by talking about who you are and what you do at Venmo.
Yeah, hi. I'll start. I'm Cortina, one of the co-founders of Venmo. Ikram and I started this service, started working on it about a year ago when we realized that it was kind of silly that we actually still had to pay each other back for things like dinner bills and drinks with cash when we, you know, couldn't make exact change. And we thought it would be a good idea to build a way to do that through our phones, since we do everything else through our phones.
Yeah, and my name's Ikram, again, a co-founder of Venmo, and it's annoying to have to use cash. And Cortina and I had this problem where we were trying to pay each other, and he was fronting a few of my bills, and I had no way of paying him back. So the obvious answer was, why can't I just send him money with my cell phone? So we decided to create Venmo. And we've been working on it ever since.
Very cool. So you say about a year now then, huh? So this, yes. So the idea, yeah, I mean, essentially came from a need.
Yeah. So, I mean, we sort of came up with the idea. I think we were at a concert, a jazz concert. And, you know, I had gotten a round of drinks, and Ikram realized he didn't have his wallet with him. And he was like, I have my phone. I never leave without my phone, but I forget my wallet sometimes. I wish I could pay you with this. And then we, you know, at the concert, we started talking about it. And then we also said, well, wouldn't it be cool if we could also, like, just buy this music that we're listening to right now through our cell phones and buy a T-shirt from this band with our cell phones? So we, you know, after we got back from that, we sort of sat down and thought about it a little bit harder and said, well, why hasn't anyone else done this? And, you know, who else is trying to do the same thing? And we looked around and we just didn't see anything that was really fun and easy to use. I mean, there's things that have been around for a while, like PayPal has been around for a long time. But I think now that, you know, the iPhone has sort of changed the way people in our country think of a mobile device, it's a good time to think again about, you know, making the way we pay people a lot easier and happen through these devices that we do everything through.
I think everybody and their brother has a cell phone pretty much, and most have SMS capabilities. I mean, I was on vacation over the holidays, and oddly enough, I actually got a message from her, and I'm an iPhone user, so at first it came through as just a number, and I had no clue who it was, but I saw the area code was similar to where I was going to back home, and I was like, yeah, I'm almost home. I'm about 4 hours out. Who is this? And it was my aunt. It's like the first time I'd ever text messaged her. So, right. I mean, we've been threatened, I think, over the past 1 or 2 years, maybe even more than that, that this is going to become the year of mobile. So I could definitely see how taking something like paying people, vendors, people, friends, and all that good stuff, it you know, taking that into the mobile space in a very simple, fun way is definitely a fun thing to do. So this came out of a need, kind of a scratch your own itch kind of thing, maybe even a way to have fun. But this isn't your first venture, though. You've actually done some, both of you equally have done some pretty cool stuff. How did you guys meet, and, you know, what were some cool stuff that you worked on in the past?
Well, the story of how we met is kind of interesting. Cortina and I actually ended up as freshman year roommates at the University of Pennsylvania, where, you know, I just got there, and Cortina was my roommate ever since. You know, we'd always talked about doing stuff together. We became very good friends. And at the end of junior year, we started a little classifieds website called My Campus Post, which was a way for college students to sell, you know, textbooks and their furniture to other college students. And we did that. And then after we graduated, we did a number of other things together. We started an online music store together. And then, you know, we've been working on a number of startups. And we moved to New York to work at a company called OMG Pop, which was formerly known as I'm in Like With You. And got a lot of experience as developers, engineers, and learned how to grow a company. And then we sort of separated. I came down to Philly and joined a company called Ticket Leap, and Cortina joined a company called BetaWorks, where he was one of the initial engineers for Bitly. And we looked back, you know, about 9 months ago, we said it'd be nice to get back together and, you know, start something. And mobile was hot, and we found this need, and we said, you know, let's do this. And then now here we are.
I love entrepreneur stories like that, where you just you kind of come from this strand of various projects that have sort of led you down this path to, you know, this next project, and definitely scratching your own niche is a very cool thing. So, Cortina, tell me about I guess some of your history with like Bitly and OMG Pop, and maybe some fun stories there with getting you to where you're at now.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess one of the reasons that we left Philly a couple of years ago was that there wasn't a whole lot going on in the tech scene now. It's actually a lot more exciting now. There's cool companies down there like Ticketleaf and some others that are doing cool stuff. But there wasn't a whole lot when we were down there. So we came up here to work for I'm Unlike With You, which is a Y Combinator company, and got a chance to work with, you know, an awesome team there that was just it was like the quintessential example of Web 2.0. We were just building something that was awesome. We didn't quite know what it was, but we had like a good team that was able to build pretty much anything on the internet. So we just had this really interactive. It was a dating website with like built-in chat and all these like cool photo and video tools and games, and it was really fun. It was a good example of the sort of iterate, release something, release early, release often, and just iterate until you find something. Eventually, that company sort of hit it with moving away from dating into just casual games, and now they're sort of like the Nintendo of the internet, where you can just go and play really cool, fun multiplayer games. But neither Ikram or I is like super into gaming, and we're both sort of the type of guys that like to build stuff that we use. So Ikram went down to Ticketleaf, like you said. And I went to, I did a little bit of consulting. I did some work with a company called Carrot Creative. Got to work on some stuff with them for Major League Baseball. I did some consulting for Colbert and The Onion. And then I had known these guys at BetaWorks for a while, and sort of came to know this guy Andy. Here's one of the main guys at BetaWorks through Twitter, and I just was, you know, constantly talking to him about cool stuff that they were working on, stuff that I thought was going to be big. And right around when they were starting this service called Bitly, I was working on a sort of related thing, which was called TinyDB. It was a way to store just all sorts of data other than a URL inside of a tiny URL. So like you could store like the names of songs and the links to the files for the songs. It's one of the things that I did with it. But anyway, you know, we sort of said, hey, we're both doing some cool stuff here. And Andy said, you want to come work with us on Bitly and help us blow this up? And I said, yeah, I would love to. And we started out, I think maybe like, I don't know, 18 months ago. It was very, you know, we were excited, but to see like the thousands of clicks we were getting, and now we're counting the billions. So it's been really fun to see how quickly that's grown, and sort of like learn about all sorts of the challenges of processing real time data in very large quantities. So it's been a lot of fun working with them.
I can imagine. It seems like you've got you know, quite a history there with getting you to where you're at now. And so your story with Ikram, then, it's more of that probably what you would say most co-founding partnerships in a new venture would should be, which is you date first. You don't just go right into the kiss and go home and, you know, get down and busy that night. You kind of date for a couple years and maybe even venture off and do your own thing a little bit and kind of find your way through the developer community and even your own heart and what you want to do. And then you finally come back together and you say, let's solve a real problem here and get excited about it. So now that we're kind of, I guess we're at the Venmo stage now, what is, you know, if there's someone who pitches Venmo, who is it? One of you guys or both you guys equally, or?
I mean, we're both pitching it all the time. It's nice because, frankly, we don't have to both be there to do the pitch. So, you know, we both know the product inside and out and have confidence that, you know, the other guy can sell it. So,
and to piggyback off of your comment, Adam, when you were talking about how Venmo expands to the entire, you know, the entire country, everyone in America now has a cell phone. So any of that means that anyone that we interact with, you know, could probably benefit from using Venmo. And like today, I was at one of my favorite coffee shops, and I went up to the baristas and I said, "Hey, do you guys accept Venmo, or do you know what Venmo is?" And they were like, "No," and they were kind of intrigued, asking for. And eventually, I said, "Look, it's a way for me to tip you extra by sending you a text message." And you know, they loved the idea. So now we have this. So that's just one way. We're pitching. We're always pitching, and there's always a need or a use that we think of when we're on the go. So it's kind of interesting, and we're trying to figure out, you know, how to make it pretty much easy to get anyone to understand the convenience. And you know, once we get there, people just start to love it. And
yeah. So I mean, yeah, and like I think one of the important things for us was to make it so anyone can use it. So that's why we started with SMS. Like we saw when we started this, iPhone is huge. Like we love mobile. Mobile's finally here. But the reason we didn't start out with iPhone was because not everyone has one. So we've started out with an SMS application because it's sort of the lowest common denominator. And now that we're happy with that, we're sort of giving some more attention to the website. We're going to do some mobile web stuff, and we're going to do some mobile apps. So basically, we just want to be like – anywhere you're going to exchange money, we want to be there and make it easier than using cash or check. You know, I think we've got a good start with the SMS stuff, and we've got some really exciting stuff hopefully coming this year.
Go a little deeper into, you know, really what is Venmo? I guess start with the problem. What problem are you trying to solve, and really what does the service do? And give some details about Venmo before we go to the next steps.
I mean, I think a simple way to phrase the problem is that cash and check are inconvenient, and not everyone accepts credit card. And that can mean not your favorite coffee shop might not accept credit card, or the friends you're having dinner with might not accept credit card. But cash is, even, you know, not optimal.
Or your food truck on campus doesn't accept credit cards, but they want to. People selling things on Craigslist in person have no way of accepting credit cards. So There are solutions for accepting credit cards online, and one of them is PayPal. But you know, when you want to accept a cashless form or a checkless form of payment in person, there's really no way to do that, and Venmo solves that problem.
Yeah. So, and some of the other ways that we sort of, you know, make things, we take the pain out of transacting is not only do we like provide you an alternative to cash, but also, every Venmo payment can have a note attached to it. And originally, we had that as a way for you to just, you know, tag a transaction and so you could remember what it was when you look back at it. But we decided to show that note to both people, you know, both the person sending the money and the person receiving the money. And what we saw is that people, you know, most people don't use the note to tag the transaction. They use it to, like, send a message or take some of the pain out of a payment. Be like, you know, I could send, if I'm late for a meeting, I may send Ikram a payment, $5, sorry I'm late for this meeting. Or if, you know, if I can't make it to lunch and I'm in the office, I could say, send $5 to Ikram, you'll pick me up a sandwich while you're out. I'm not going to be able to get out of the office. So we think that a lot of the sort of social and communication layers that we're building in are also pretty core to taking some of the social pains out of each transaction. In addition to the,
that's kind of funny. So you're actually sending the text message to Ikram, but at the same time you're interacting with Venmo to give him money.
Well, the text message always goes to Venmo, right? So I would say pay Ikram $1 for picking me up a banana on the way into work. And that message goes into Venmo, and then Venmo processes the transaction, sends Ikram a dollar, and he gets the dollar, and he sees that he's supposed to buy me a banana.
And so what's the interaction then from Venmo to Ikram then? What is does Venmo let you choose as the user, hey, when somebody pays me for whatever, can I choose how to receive that? And for what I'm trying to say, I guess, is back down to the, you know, natural human interface, which Steve Ballmer just blogged about, and I got to catch up with the article, but just the natural user interface of sending someone a text message, but at the same time you're piggybacking off of Venmo. So you can send the text to Venmo, and Venmo would then take care of sending the text to Ikram, but it's still natural. It's like, you know, hey, I want a sandwich. I gave you $5. Do you mind picking me up X from wherever or wherever you normally go to? Is that the user experience of that interaction?
Yes. You know, and this is a good opportunity to describe how you know, if anyone listening wanted to just start using Venmo right now, this is a good opportunity to explain how to do it. So Venmo has a phone number. The phone number is 646-863-9557. So all communications, all payments to people and communications and text messages must be sent into that phone number. So that's Venmo's phone number. And there are two types of ways you can make a payment to someone. You can use their phone number. So I could send money to anyone's phone number in the United States and Canada currently. And the way I do that is I write a text that says pay, phone number, dollar amount. And then after that, you leave a message similar to the message that Cortina was talking about. So I could say pay 215-908-8942, $1. So that would be like $1 space, and then for a banana on your way. Venmo receives that text, looks at the phone number, and then sends the person with that phone number a text saying, Ikram from this phone number is sending you $1 to, you know, pick up a banana or whatever the message is. And then that person is prompted to respond back to Venmo. So all the communication happens between, you know, you and Venmo, and then Venmo just distributes the message accordingly and the payment accordingly.
So it's sort of like a direct message on Twitter if you use the Twitter SMS interface.
Could you swap the phone number with the username?
Yes. So we've made it so that all Venmo account holders can have the ability of creating a Twitter-like username. So my username on Venmo is Ikram. Cortina's username on Venmo is Cortina. So this makes it easier to pay people because then you don't have to remember someone's phone number. So if I now when I want to send Cortina a payment, I just send a text into Venmo saying pay Cortina $1 for the banana. Then Cortina gets that and he can send money back to me by saying pay Ikram $1. One other thing I'd like to add is we designed it so that anyone that is not on Venmo can accept payments. And also anyone that's not on Venmo can make payments. So, you know, Venmo works best when you're in person and you need to exchange money with someone or, you know, or a vendor. There are two ways to do this. So if, say, I'm a vendor and I accept Venmo and then someone walks up and says, I want to pay by cash, but I prefer to pay by credit card. The vendor says, okay, that's not a problem. And the vendor can actually send an invoice or charge you without you being on Venmo. And you can complete the transaction right then and there, and the vendor gets notified of your payment. And this works by, you know, the vendor initiating a charge command. So there are two commands on Venmo. There's pay, and then there's charge. Charge is when you're requesting money from someone. So the vendor would then charge you by your phone number and say, you know, charge 215-908-8942, $1 for the bananas I'm selling. And then the person at that phone number would get an invoice request and can complete it right then and there. It works in reverse by me giving me the ability to also send phone numbers money without that phone number necessarily having to be tied to a Venmo account. And we prompt you through the sign up via text message.
Sorry, just to sort of clarify a little bit more. So basically, like if I'm out to dinner with you and you're not on Venmo yet, and you pick up the dinner bill and I say, all right, cool, I'm just going to pay you back via Venmo. You say, I don't have Venmo. I'm like, that's cool. What's your phone number? And then you tell me your phone number and I say, all right, pay 215-908-942, $1 or probably $15 for dinner. Then what happens is you get a text message from Venmo that says, hey, Cortina just paid you $15. Looks like you don't have an account yet set up yet. Just respond with your email address and we'll tell you how to pull your money out into your bank. So, you know, we think that enabling people to do that sort of transaction without having to, like, go back home and open up their laptop is really important because we think that, you know, Venmo is just really useful when you're out and about and when you're not in front of your computer.
Well, it just goes back to that whole, you know, it's if you're since you guys are very fluent with web services, you've been, you know, doing this for a very long time, you can appreciate this, but it allows you to use the application before you commit to use the application. I guess if you want your money, you should go back and create your account, right? But you get the chance to actually experience the simplicity of something before saying, here's who I am, here's my username, here's all my friends, here's all this crap. Oh, God, that sucks.
Right.
Right? Who wants to do that? So you guys make the get started quick, super simple and easy to do.
Yeah. I mean, so the goal is, you know, it's a utility. And, you know, we're layering all that, you know, friends and stuff and making it easier to, like, find people that you're going to pay. And, you know, it's all very important, but it's important because it helps you do transactions, you know, with the people that you come in contact with in your day-to-day life.
You mentioned, too, that, you know, you can swap off the phone number with the username. So I think it's pretty cool how more and more services, especially with the adoption of Twitter and the short name of somebody's, you know, short username, like I'm Adam Stack on Twitter, and I'm pretty much Adam Stack everywhere now because it just makes sense to keep it short and simple. It's 8 letters. My last name is 9 characters. So I didn't want to be, you know, full on Adam Stachowiak. It's just if somebody hears Stachowiak, it's quite like Ikram at first. I mispronounced his name because I assumed it had an N and a G in there, and I was just wrong, you know. So you keep it short, you keep it simple. But it's really wild how more and more web services like yours are adopting the Twitter way of mind and go into short names, and you can actually piggyback off of the, you know, the simplicity of those services and easily, you know, identify with that simplicity and say, you know, our service is just as easy to use.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even say Twitter started. I would say AOL Instant Messenger they were the first guys that really did that.
But they always had like the 895750 on the end of it, right? Or somebody's birthday, or you know, for me, I'd be like, you know, Adam Stack 79 or something like that, right?
Right.
There's one other thing. There's a question a lot of people ask about is how do I get what do I do with this money? We have it set up so that in order to pull your money out, you just have to visit the website. So the minute you sign up in person, we ask for you to, in order to sign up in person, we ask for your email address. When you give that to us, we send you an email with instructions on how to set up your bank account on Venmo, and that's just by visiting the website. You create your account there, and once you put your bank account in, it just works similar to the way PayPal works, similar to the way you pull money out of PayPal. It's via direct deposit, and you can pull as much as you'd like from your Venmo account into your own checking account whenever you want to. So that's how you get your money from your Venmo balance into your own checking account or your savings account. That's all.
Gotcha. So we've gotten this far so far, and we haven't really talked about how much somebody pays you yet, right? So this service is free?
Yes, for right now it's free. It's free for individuals to use among each other. For vendors and small businesses and anyone that's running a service, we do charge a transaction fee that's similar to credit cards.
Gotcha. And so for just your typical user then, so there's never – is it planned to always be free for your general consumer and only charge vendors?
Yeah, that's the hope. I mean, really what you shouldn't have to pay like one of your buddies when you're out at dinner but you should have to pay if you're using Venmo as a business. So
of course, yeah. Of
we're
course.
Gonna, you know, I think we have some. We've identified like a couple innovative ways to sort of classify you as a business. You know, like based on if you're doing like a.
Well, if you have
large
volume, number, right? If you reach
if you have volume,
yeah.
And also things, yeah. So that's basically.
Do you guys absorb some cost then with making some of these parts free and some of them paid?
Yeah, basically. I mean. Right now, we see it as a marketing expense, and we have some things lined up that should sort of reduce our costs going forward to make it all work out and keep the fees as we describe them.
I guess maybe now is a good point since you said you can absorb some costs. You must have maybe received some early seed funding or angel funding.
We've been bootstrapping for about a year, and recently just did a small friends and family round to sort of pay our rent and keep us going and maybe get another engineer on board. But still pretty bootstrapped. We haven't really raised a formal round or anything.
any fun stories behind the whole bootstrapping methodology of this past year?
One story that I'm excited about is that it's not really related to fundraising, but I think when Ikram and I started this, at least I was thinking of it as, all right, let's build a nice little business here, maybe have some premium subscription accounts and make enough money where we both don't have to really work so much. And now we're both a lot more excited about it and sort of trying to make this into like a huge thing that everyone is going to use. So along the way, we've realized that this is going to be hopefully a lot bigger than we originally planned.
So do you think in the next 6 to 8 months we should be expecting to hear some announcements on TechCrunch or Crunchbase about you guys getting your A round going? And
it's not really about raising funding. What we're looking for is we want to make your life easier, but really, because Cortina and I have been using this for the past 6 months, and I can swear by it. I can swear by the convenience, and it's just something that we think everyone else would really enjoy using, and it'll really make exchanging money with friends, family, shops, everyone you interact with a far more far more fun experience. And at a time like this, it seems like we'll be helping people, and hopefully we'll be able to scale the product we'll be able to get the word out there so that we're able to keep Venmo up and running because we love it so much. And that would that's where hopefully in 6 months from now you'll start seeing all your friends saying, do you accept Venmo?
Right. Yeah. I mean, hopefully you'll see an article in the New York Times about like a bunch of restaurants accepting it. Like that would be more exciting for us than like raising money. Like, and we just want to see people use this thing and make people's lives like easier, because we've seen it work, amongst ourselves and our networks, and we just want to bring it to everyone else.
Gotcha. And I do have some fun stories about I have one nice story about bootstrapping. So, Cortina, and like I said, we've done this for about 6 months. We've thought about it for about 9. And, every step of the way, we use it with each other all the time. And we see opportunities for other people to, from a small business standpoint, to actually increase their sales and, benefit from our product. And there's one particular story I have. It's related to Penn's campus. There's a food truck on Penn's campus that has never had a way of accepting credit cards, just because there's no wireless device. It's too costly. They charge a ridiculous monthly fee. The setup fee is like $1,000, and it's just not worth it for a food truck. And the food truck, the guy's name is Hemos on Penn's campus, and his cell phone is literally 10 years old. It's a flip phone that it doesn't have any data plan. It probably has less minutes than it's capable of sending text messages. And I walked up to him one day, and I was like, would you be willing to try this out? This is a way that, your students can now, instead of having to carry cash, can pay by, Venmo, and they could essentially use their credit cards or, Venmo to pay for food. And he was like, yes, I'd love to do that. What do I need to do? I signed him up right then and there, and all of a sudden he's starting to accept Venmo. And every week he puts through a certain number of transactions. And it's just the thing about bootstrapping, it's that may not cover our rent bill, but it's enough to keep us going, because we know that we owe it to him to have his business up and running. And it's like, that's the beauty behind bootstrapping. And that's been one of the most satisfying moments for me so far. And I just hope that we can reach out to every business like that and manage and convince them that Venmo is going to help them.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I mean, when you bootstrap, you tend to be a lot more emotionally connected to your users, and right. Therefore that translates into a better, I guess, user experience of the service and overall architecture and direction and viability of that service, because you're so emotionally connected with the benefits and gains that they get that it's, your form of payment isn't really cash anymore. Now you might even be getting woofy, and sometimes woofy can be even more fulfilling than just, plain old cash. Sure, like you said, it could pay for things and offset costs and stuff like that, but at the moment, both of you guys are probably pretty sustained and able to not really worry about various things, but it pays the rent, and that's what gets you guys going.
Right.
So I guess one of the biggest questions I have in my mind, and we've talked about PayPal a couple times, and it's probably the question that you probably get a lot, because PayPal is one of the more prevalent online payment sources and whatnot, but why would somebody use Venmo over PayPal, and what are some of the things that you hear from your users besides some of the obvious ones we just talked about with, you know, the viability and stuff like that? But why else? Why would you choose to go this route? And why would somebody not use PayPal?
So there's a couple different reasons that we've seen. One thing that's interesting to me is actually how few of my friends use PayPal to pay each other. I think over time, PayPal has sort of changed their business to focus on just being an easier way to pay for things online without giving your credit card number to an internet merchant. And I think people have just come to see it that way. Even though the name is still PayPal, I think people just... it doesn't come immediately to mind when you're thinking of paying your friend back. And also, although they do have like some mobile offerings, they're not optimized for that. So, you know, our goal is to make an experience that's optimized for mobile and for paying people back face to face, or paying, you know, shops face to face. And also, we want to make it more social. So we just want to make it easier to connect with and find people that you're exchanging money with often, and sort of like build your network of financial contacts and exchange money with them in a way that's more fun. It's never paying someone back is, there's always like a little bit of stress as soon as money involved. And a lot of times I think that, you know, just making the experience a little bit more fun, making it more like a text message where you can add a funny little note or a joke in there, takes some of the social pain out of the payment. So, more mobile and more social is how we're different than PayPal.
Gotcha. I can agree with that. Like, I've been a PayPal user since, geez, I don't even know when. I mean, I guess when eBay became cool back in 04 or something like that, or 03, or I don't know when, but I've had one for like ever. And I was just talking to a friend of mine before I got in the call with you guys, and I've never really used PayPal to pay anybody like that. I've only really used it, like you said, which was to keep some anonymity or some security behind me, which is pay through PayPal and not have to give out that credit card number to the merchant online or whatever. So that's, I like the idea too that you're taking this more to the mobile space and you're putting some fun user experience behind it and making it more fun. I think more applications like, you know, Flickr and various applications have all found ways to inject fun into their natural user experiences, that, and that's what brings emotion and life into it.
Right.
Thinking about then, you know, since we're on like this UX kind of state of mind here, what was the thought process behind some of these interactions? Like, do you have any fun stories about how you've talked about how it should work and the architecture and technologies and how that all played into this fun UX?
Something that's been enlightening for us is how hard it is actually to make an SMS UX. It sounds like it would be much easier than making a web interface or like a website, but you're so constrained for space that it's really challenging to guide the user through something that makes sense, and that, you know, if they do something incorrectly, how you handle that and how you send back the response if, you know, if they got someone else's username wrong, or, you know, or if they entered like an invalid, amount of money that we couldn't parse. So it's been a really fun learning process. But what we've sort of landed upon with the SMS experience is that it works best if we just turn it into a dialogue. So we try as hard as we can to make interacting with the service not feel like you're interacting with the service, but just like you're sending a text message to anyone else you might send a text message to. So we try to keep everything, you know, pretty conversational and with a fun tone, and also try to be pretty lenient with the different syntaxes we accept for sending payments.
And as I also understand, you also have some things in place to correct people if they've got like usernames spelled incorrectly, and they have mm-hmm. stuff built in to protect your users from accidentally paying, you know, Adam Stacks versus Adam Stack.
Yeah,
like $5 for the mm-hmm. for the banana.
Yeah, so we have some sort of like if you misspell something on Google and you get "did you mean this," we built sort of something like that for usernames where, you know, if you put in a username that we didn't recognize, and we'll suggest what we think you were trying to do. So that stuff has been pretty fun to build too.
And so do you also, when I logged into my interface, I also saw this notion of trusted users. Mm-hmm. And real quickly, one thing that scared me about it once I read through and what it was that I guess, at least from what I understand, trusted users can take money from you whenever they like, pretty much. That's the gist of, at least that's how I consume that information on your site. And then I also saw beneath it suggested users mm-hmm. to trust. So that means like anybody who I trust can just take my money. Is that right?
Yeah. So if you trust someone, they can, you know, they can charge you and it'll go through. But you do have a 24-hour window to reverse that. So the idea is if we're going out all the time to lunch every day, I don't necessarily want to have to like confirm every time you invoice me on Venmo to pay my part of the lunch. And so basically when I trust you, it's the same thing as when we go out and I say like, oh, I'll get this one, you get me back next time, which is sort of like, you know, I trust you, you're good for it, we'll just, you know, we'll agree to sort of like share expenses. So we've just tried to model that relationship through Venmo. We call it trusted contacts.
So who are the people that you're suggesting that I trust then in that space there? Because I don't know any of them.
That's something. That's an algorithm we're still tweaking, and we've gotten some feedback from people that it's not good enough yet. But
okay.
Typically, yeah. It's people that, you know, either someone you trust, if you trusted someone, like people that they trust, or people that you've recently transacted with. Gotcha. But that's sort of still a work in progress.
Yeah, and it's kind of exciting because since you have the ability to reverse any transaction, you know, you may be willing to trust people that you didn't think of. And, you know, our goal is to make your life easier. And when you trust people on Venmo, it really makes transacting via Venmo very simple. And it's almost like you're telling someone, hey, look, you know, I know you're not going to take money from me frivolously, and even if you did, I have the ability to reverse it. So, hey, go ahead, take money whenever you need it, and you know, I trust you'll use your best judgment and take money when I owe it to you. And it's just a nice gesture to give someone on Venmo, and I feel our goal is to make it so that, you know, you're not necessarily being too cautious with your trust, because there are ways to make your life easier without you having to trust only a few people. So,
gotcha. I see the notion behind it then. So it's more like an extra level of friending. Because like I've got a few people that are in my, I think what we're calling my financial network. Mm-hmm. I've got a few people in there, but I haven't actually trusted anybody yet because I was kind of scared about that. And I guess the fallback is the fact that in 24 hours I can reverse any charge and stop anything. But that's what kind of scared me at first about the trusting people. I was like, woo.
Right. Yeah, man. I mean, it is like something you want to take seriously. Like you should trust the people that you actually trust in real life. But, you know, because you can reverse it, you may trust a few more. But we also, you know, the reason we understand that that hesitation, that's why we do have the concept of the broader financial network. Like there's a lot of people that, you know, you want to make it easier to transact with that you don't necessarily trust. And for them, you know, you add them to your financial network. And then for the people that you're really interacting with all the time, the people you do trust, just to make things even easier, you can sort of upgrade them to this special relationship, which is the trust one.
Gotcha. I see that you also have a newer feature that it's probably, you know, probably in the early makings of it, but you also have group receipts for when vendors have employees who, because every Venmo account is attached to a phone number, but not every person has access to that phone to start interacting with the phone number and the SMS and all that good stuff. So you actually have some various things going into like group receipts. And again, it's going back to having more, I guess at this level, it's a business's trusted user, right?
Yep. So that's just a way for businesses, like say you're a coffee shop owner and you want to, basically your baristas can check in and check out of receiving the notifications of when the master business account has been.
Yeah, it's not related to trust, but it allows multiple people, one business to have like a master account on Venmo and then notify any other worker, you know, while they're at the station.
How do they notify the worker then? Whether it's through their own cell phone or
yes, so anyone else can have their cell phone listen to payments received by the master account, and every time a payment comes into the master account, those cell phones that are subscribed to the master account will get notified via text message as well. So they don't receive the money, but it's a way of, you know, it's like clocking in and clocking out of a shift at a coffee shop.
Very cool. So do you guys have anything super secret that you're working on that I think, Cortina, early when we spoke, I think it was early December when I invited you guys to come on the show, and I know that the holidays are always tough for everybody, but I think you mentioned something about having some new features that you were working on. Do you have anything super secret that you guys would like to announce today on the show?
Not really. I mean, when we talked last, we were sort of just starting to work on this notion of trusted contacts. And, you know, the ability to open your wallet to your friends. So that was, you know, that was something that we've been working on and sort of recently launched. But other stuff, big stuff coming up, nothing huge. I mean, we'll be sort of opening up the service a little bit more. We've been in a fairly closed beta for a while. And over the next month or so, we're going to be opening up to more people and hopefully getting some more people to use it. So we're just excited to see, some more users making their lives easier.
Gotcha. Well, let's fast forward like 3, maybe 6 months from now. Where do you guys, what do you want to see happen to Venmo in the next 3 to 6 months?
We'd like to see really everyone in Philadelphia using Venmo. Hopefully, and then maybe move it on to New York. We're focusing a lot on Philadelphia just because that's where we are. That's where we have our biggest user base. And, you know, we want friends to start telling their friends about it and grow this organically, because people actually believe in the product and they believe in, you know, what we're all about. And hopefully 6 months from now, we'll have more of a presence and it'll give us the opportunity to then go after other cities and try and get Venmo accepted all over the country.
And I see you guys have a pretty active blog too, right? I mean, you guys are blogging at least once a month or a couple times a month on different things. Do you plan to kind of do some, I guess, user education on how to do like some of the stuff we talked about, like paying your barista or easily doing some of these various things? Is this something we can kind of count on you guys blogging about and tweeting about pretty often?
Yeah, definitely. And also we just really encourage people to reach out to us on Twitter if they do have questions about particular use cases or ideas for new use cases. And a lot of times we'll either put up a blog post or if I think it's something that where it helps, I'll try to do a video and put that up explaining something. So we do try to keep a pretty constant stream of educational content coming out in one format or another.
And you mentioned before that you might even be, I think you might even have some hires coming on, like you'd like to, we didn't talk about the platform on which you guys are built on, but I imagine there's lots of security protocols you got to deal with money and stuff like that, but what's the language you guys are working with?
Mainly Python, and there's like all sorts of security stuff we have to get money, and we're just looking for... are excited about building a product that a lot of people use and find useful. So people are interested in mobile and web should definitely get in contact by sending us an email, jobs@venmo.com. I'd love to hear from you.
All right, cool. Is there anything else that's kind of big and stuff that we should talk about that we haven't covered? I tried to cover quite a bit of your story. I hope I hit all the spots you thought were important.
I think that's pretty comprehensive. One thing is, hopefully for all listeners, there's an invite code that Adam can give you. He's got a link, and then you can sign up and check out Venmo, and we'd love to hear your feedback and also how you plan to use Venmo, because we're constantly being surprised with some use cases.
Okay, so I should I tweet that invite code? I think I did at one point back in December, but I haven't again since then, but is that an open invite code then?
Your invite code, you should be able to invite users. You have 25 right now, so you know, feel free to tweet it or put it on the website. It's left.
Yeah, I'm thinking if I put it on the website, it's probably gonna get crushed, and there'll be none. So I think 25 is maybe you're not ready for 2,000 plus signups, but I don't think 2,000 plus would probably sign up. But maybe that's me being you know, hopeful or wishful thinking.
How about we do this? We'll increase it to 1,000 for you for now, and we'll as a special, which will expire in a couple weeks.
Okay. Guys, it was awesome having you on the show. I think that the niche that you're attacking here certainly needs something that's fun and easy to use. And I think it's, you know, especially with mobile becoming more and more prevalent, more and more people are taking everything they do to the mobile spaces, and it's becoming more and more trusted. So I can only see that, you know, all the efforts that you guys are doing here now are going to start getting, you know, pressed harder and harder and harder as this year comes around. So I definitely commend you guys for your entrepreneurial spirit and everything you guys have done in the past with the various companies that have been talked about, especially, you know, Bitly and I'm in Like With You and how that evolved. It's a very fun story to talk about. And what was the other one?
Ticket Leap.
Yeah, that's a very cool name too. So, I mean, that's an awesome story you guys have, and I really appreciate you guys coming on the show. It's been fun having you.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Web 2.0 Show. Be sure to check out web20show.com for links in the show notes or to leave a comment on the show. Thanks for listening.